Hello and welcome to this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. Joined as always here with Zach Cox. We are recapping the 2020 NFL draft from a Patriots perspective. And quite honestly, it could not have been more of a Patriots draft. They traded out of the first round. They drafted a defensive back in the second round. And they drafted a kicker in the fifth round. You really could not get any more Patriots than this draft was.
No, they really hit all the Bill Belichick was playing the hits this weekend.
Yes.
And that was for sure. And it was a busy weekend. There was a lot going on. We're going to try to recap it all as best we can. After that first day, it was really kind of full speed ahead. I'm not going to lie. By the end of yesterday, I felt the way Roger Goodell looked on the broadcast in his T-shirt, kind of sitting in his chair, all like looked like he was about to fall asleep. That was me in my brain by the end of the day. So hopefully I'm back to full mental capacity at this point.
I think the whatever it was, like 5 or 6 hours of sleep I got last night was enough. But yeah, I had like a Zoom call for one of my friend's birthdays. And it was like one of those like Jackbox games where you're like trying to come up with funny things. And my brain was just absolutely fried. For half of it, I was still trying to report on Patriots undrafted free agents. It was not a good scene. But yeah, there was a lot going on, as you said. Let's just kick it off with day one. Let's get right into this. The Patriots did trade out of their 23 overall pick. I know a lot of Patriots fans were not very excited about that, which you can kind of understand after 3 hours of waiting for the pick or whatever it was for them to simply trade out. But I thought that the value that they got on the trade, picking up a early second round pick and an early third round pick, was essentially what the Patriots should have received from that deal.
Absolutely. This is exactly what they should have done and exactly what most of us expected them to do. I know everybody wanted the flash of a first round pick, but to be able to close that gap that they had between their first and second picks, to be able to get, as you mentioned, fair value for that pick. This was a smart move from the Patriots. Not exciting, but smart, which goes back to our original point that this was a very Bill Belichick draft.
And they picked up safety Kyle Duggar out of Lenoir Rhyne with the 37th overall pick that they got from the Los Angeles Chargers. And I understand if you want to be skeptical about this pick. This is the fifth defensive back that the Patriots had taken in a row in the second round, following names like Jordan Richards, Cyrus Jones, Duke Dawson, and Jawan Williams. The jury's still out on Jawan Williams, but those other four picks did not go, or those other three picks did not go well. You can go back to Tavon Wilson and Rozai Dowling, and Patrick Chung obviously worked out eventually, but his first tenure with the Patriots was not very solid. All of those guys were second round defensive backs of the Patriots. And now you've got Kyle Duggar. And this is different though. This is different than Jordan Richards. This is different from Tavon Wilson, because Kyle Duggar was actually supposed to be drafted in the second round. That being said, he is a Division II player. So there's a lot of projection that goes on when you get a guy like Kyle Duggar, but he's a fantastic athlete, big, 6'1", 217 pounds, 4.49 40, explosive broad jump and vertical jump. So, you know, I think that this player has upside, but like I said, I can understand if you're skeptical over another second round defensive back.
Absolutely. I mean, he's going to, I wrote yesterday that he needs to break the second round defensive back curse, which is really what it's been lately. You mentioned all of those names. None of them have panned out. And now Kyle Duggar, even though he was projected to go in this range, he was expected to be the first, second, third, fourth safety off the board in that early day two area. But he is a Division II player, and he's also a player who could be playing a different role in the NFL than what he played in college, because he was primarily a free safety at Lenoir Rhyne. But he's, you mentioned his size, you mentioned his athleticism. A lot of people think he might be asked to play sort of a hybrid linebacker role for the Patriots. So that's projecting a guy from Division II level to the NFL level, and projecting a guy who played essentially a different position at the Division II level to a different position at the NFL level. So there's a lot of kind of looking forward that needs to be done here with Kyle Duggar. But both Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio mentioned that his performance at the Senior Bowl really kind of solidified their belief that he can be a productive player at the NFL level. He was one of the standouts of Senior Bowl week, going up against guys from Alabama and Michigan and Notre Dame and all these power programs. Did not look out of place down there. So the Patriots had been on him for a while. Nick Caserio said they started scouting him last spring, seriously, sent a couple guys to Lenoir Rhyne during the season, but that Senior Bowl week was definitely what kind of locked him in as a guy they were looking to target.
So next they grabbed Josh Uche out of Michigan. Nick Cirio said on that conference call that they had three names written down that they wanted to pick up in the third, in the second round. And Kyle Duggar and Josh Uche were two of those three names. So the Patriots had to be happy with getting Uche at 60th overall. They doubled up at that linebacker slash edge position with Uche and Anfernee Jennings. I think these picks match up pretty well because Josh Uche, more the pass rusher, better athlete, a little bit smaller, might fill in at middle linebacker or on the edge, whereas Anfernee Jennings is the more traditional edge player, might be able to play a little bit off the ball, but Anfernee Jennings was PFF's best run defending edge player in 2019, whereas Josh Uche was one of their best pass rushing edge players in 2019. So, you know, putting these two picks, like putting them in a vacuum, you could say, okay, yeah, Uche and Jennings were fine picks. But if you kind of match them together, I think this makes a lot of sense. And Uche was a name that I had heard tied to the Patriots before the draft, which is why in like the week preceding the draft, I was super high on Josh Uche because I sort of knew that the Patriots had some interest in him and they wound up grabbing him there at the 60th overall pick. But doubling up at that edge slash linebacker with Uche and Jennings was probably pretty smart because you could probably hit on at least one of those players.
Definitely. They seem to be complementary players, as you mentioned too. It'll be interesting to see how they use Uche because he did play off the ball some in college, but he was primarily an edge guy, probably a little too small to do that on a consistent basis at the NFL level. But
long arms though.
Long arms is very, very creative with a lot of his kind of pass rushes and his blitzes and whatnot. It was an extremely productive pass rusher, as you mentioned, ranked second in FBS in both pass rush win rate and pressure rate from PFF. So he was definitely a guy that they liked. He also, PFF also called him their, this class's most versatile edge rusher. So obviously Bill Belichick and his team love versatility, and versatility was really one of the themes of this Patriots draft. And it'll be interesting to see how both of those guys slot in there.
For sure. Next they doubled up again at the tight end position. Devin Aussie, 91st overall. Dalton Keene, 101st overall. They made an unprecedented trade for Dalton Keene, trading a future pick. Granted, it was a sixth rounder, but this is something the Patriots had never done, is traded a future pick. So they really wanted to get back into the third round to grab Dalton Keene. I'm sure a lot of people know how high I was on Dalton Keene before the 2020 NFL draft. But even I was a little bit flabbergasted that the Patriots were taking him in the third round, because basically what it comes down to with the draft is that I know I can't watch film on 300 players. This is not my full-time job to be a draft analyst like guys like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Matt Miller, all these guys. So I like to sort of crunch the numbers and see who are the best athletic fits for the Patriots. And then once I've determined some of the athletic fits, then I'll watch those guys on film to see how they would fit in with the Patriots. And I just kept sort of scratching my head as to why Dalton Keene was viewed as a seventh round or undrafted free agent, because he was the most athletic tight end in this class. He fit all of the measurables that the Patriots usually look for in a tight end. He appears a little bit undersized on film, but I think part of that is just the fact that he wears the number 29 in college, but he's 6'4", over 250 pounds, willing blocker, but another guy who need some projection in the NFL, because Bill Belichick even said it yesterday on our conference call. There's not a lot of stuff that he did at Virginia Tech that necessarily translates to the Patriots offense. So that's going to be a work in progress. But once again, I think that, you know, getting Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, you basically ensure that you're going to hit on one of those guys. And they're two of the most complete tight ends in the class, bigger guys who can catch passes, block, and run pretty well.
Definitely. I'll just touch on Asiasi a little bit. Since you kind of handled Dalton Keene pretty well there. Asiasi, only a guy who basically played 1 year of college football, essentially. He was on the team. He started his career at Michigan, transferred to UCLA, was a very deep backup for 2 years. He only had 8 catches before his final collegiate season. Ended up having a pretty good season as a pass catcher last year under Chip Kelly out in UCLA. And Nick Caserio said Chip Kelly was a good resource, quote unquote, for the Patriots kind of scouting purposes of Asiasi, because he requires a little bit of projection as well. It's always the case when a guy only has 1 year of kind of big time collegiate production, and even his production wouldn't you wouldn't call it eye-popping or anything. It was a solid season. Also said he needs a little bit of work as a blocker still kind of developing in that area, but he's got the size to contribute as a two-way tight end, as Dalton Keene does. Also found it interesting that Asiasi and Keene were roommates at the NFL scouting combine, and Keene said that they struck up a pretty good relationship there. So they're pretty excited to team back up. And this is, I mean, they're going to have a lot of pressure on them, honestly, because they are the players that will be tasked with kind of reviving this Patriots tight end group that was the worst in the NFL last season. And I like both of the players, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots kind of slot both of them in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they will compete for starting jobs with guys like Matt LaCoste and Ryan Izzo. The Patriots also picked up an undrafted tight end that we'll get into in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, they have a chance to start next season. Might be a little bit tough with the way that the offseason is going to be structured this year. But, no, I think that, you know, doubling up and essentially making sure that you might be able to hit on one of those players was pretty key. Do you find Asiasi hard to type?
Yes, I find it a little hard to say. It takes me back to my my elementary school Spanish. With like so-so is a CSC.
Right.
And that's always how I say it in my mind. So that's going to take a little bit of I also will get to Justin Rohrwasser in a second. I read his name a couple of weeks ago when I was looking for wow. Steven Gostkowski replacements. So he was on my radar a little bit, but I read his name initially as Rohrwasser with an H, and now I can't get it out of my brain, and I wrote Rohrwasser like 16 times yesterday, including a couple of times on Twitter. So I'm sorry, Justin, I'll get that down eventually, but that might take a little bit of work.
That was the next pick in the fifth round. The Patriots traded out of the fourth round plus the future sixth to get Dalton Keene. Then their next pick was in the fifth round, grabbed a kicker just as everyone expected them to. I can't say that Rohrwasser was a guy who was on my radar. If he had come across my radar, then I probably would have viewed him as a sleeper just based on his accuracy at Marshall plus his long kicking. He was pretty good from 50 yards plus. But when the Patriots picked Rohrwasser, the pick quickly became more about a controversial tattoo that he has more than it actually was about him as a kicker. He basically, a picture was tweeted out of him. People immediately picked up on the fact that he appeared to have a three percenters tattoo, which is a sort of far right leaning pro-gun organization. But Rohrwasser was asked about this on his conference call, so we'll just play that audio now.
I got that tattoo when I was a teenager, and I have a lot of family in the military, and you know, I thought it stood for a military support symbol at the time, and obviously it evolved into something that I do not want to represent. And when I look back on it, I should have done way more research before I put any mark or symbol like that on my body, and it's not something I ever want to represent, so it will be covered.
So after the Patriots did select Rohrwasser in the sixth round, in the fifth round, they doubled up again with two guards, one of whom played tackle in college, but they grabbed Michael Onwenu out of Michigan. Massive guy, said he played at around 360 or 370 pounds in Michigan, but has since slimmed down. And then tackle slash guard Justin Heron out of Wake Forest. I'm slightly surprised by both of these picks, just because neither one is an overly athletic offensive lineman, and that's what the Patriots have sort of been leaning towards in recent years with Joe Tooney and David Andrews and Shaq Mason in the past, with Isaiah Wynn's an athletic guy, Nate Solder, Sebastian Vollmer. These are stronger guards rather than more athletic movement guards. But I mean, maybe we'll see Justin Heron play some tackle. Onwenu was certainly an interesting prospect because he was able to slim down a little bit. But interior offensive line was certainly a need for the Patriots, so it makes sense that they grabbed these two guys.
Onwenu was a really interesting pick for me because you mentioned that he slimmed down. He slimmed down to 344 pounds, which was still, even though it was 20, 25 pounds lighter than he played at Michigan, he was still the heaviest interior offensive lineman at the scouting combine earlier this year, the second heaviest lineman overall, second heaviest offensive lineman overall behind Mekhi Becton, the tackle who went in the first round. And this is far, far, far larger than the Patriots like their offensive guards. Most guards who have come through the Patriots system over the last couple of years have been between kind of 300 to 310, right in that range. As you mentioned, more athletic guys. So it's interesting that they would target Onwenu, who they reportedly were actually able to get into Foxborough for a workout before the COVID-19 pandemic sort of set in. So they must have liked what they saw from him during that workout. Worth noting that he was a phenomenal pass protector at Michigan, allowed 2 sacks in nearly 1,200 pass block snaps over the last 3 years, including 0 in his final season at Michigan. So he is skilled in that regard, and obviously big enough and powerful enough to move some people around in the running game. With Herrem, it was interesting that a lot of the scouting reports I was reading on him mentioned that he is an athletic guy who can move around. I think he was a former basketball player, but he tested really, really poorly,
very poorly,
in the agility drills. I think his 3-cone was in the first percentile for players of his position. Short shuttle was in the 25th percentile. So those are not particularly good numbers. Again, going to be interesting to see how he's used. He exclusively played left tackle in college. The Patriots announced him as a guard. So you would assume that they're looking to do a Joe Tooney switch and move him inside. But it does sound like he will at least have some versatility to play both of those spots.
Yeah, Heron, like you said, the agility drills were very slow. 8.413 cone, 4.88 short shuttle, 33-inch vert, though. So the guy's got some ups, at least. But one thing that I did notice about both of these guards before we move on is both of them were pretty long-armed guards. Justin Heron had 33.5-inch arms. Michael Onwenu has 34.38-inch arms. So that's also a little bit different than the Patriots usually look for in guards. Maybe just, you know, Tom Brady's gone, so they're switching up the offense a little bit. These guys are both more on sort of the Ted Karras level as far as offensive linemen go, rather than Shaq Mason and Joe Tooney. But Patriots' next pick was a linebacker out of Wyoming, Cash Maluia. Not totally sure how to pronounce that.
I believe it's Maluia.
Maluia. He was a guy who Bill Belichick even noted played with Logan Wilson at Wyoming. So I certainly would not be surprised if the Patriots were watching Logan Wilson tape. And then Cash sort of flashed them. He's more of an undersized linebacker. I think that he might be a guy who, you know, could contribute on special teams if he even makes the roster, which is no guarantee at the 204th overall pick there for the Patriots. But he was a high school quarterback, high school safety, pretty decent athlete. But like I said, more of an undersized linebacker than the Patriots usually look for. But maybe that's just another thing where they're kind of going out of their normal realm of players that they look for to see if someone like Cash could contribute in other ways in a more athletic role for the Patriots at linebacker.
Yeah, this definitely strikes me as a special teams focused pick rather than a guy who will kind of be a legitimate contender to get in that mix at the kind of inside linebacker spot. But you never know. He was productive at Wyoming. You mentioned that he's pretty athletic, so he's a guy that seems to be worth taking a flyer on.
And the Patriots are extremely shallow at linebacker right now. You know, we did mention that Josh Uche might be able to play some inside linebacker. They've got Brandon Copeland, Dante Hightower, and Juwan Bentley. But, I mean, basically any player that the Patriots pick up at linebacker could have to contribute just because of how shallow they are right now at that position. Patriots' final pick in the 7th round, center Dustin Woodard out of Memphis. So the Patriots went really, really heavy on interior offensive linemen here on day 3 of the NFL draft. And this pick is certainly interesting just because, I mean, David Andrews said that he's good to go for the 2020 season, but I think that after he had to miss an entire season with blood clots in his lungs, the Patriots can't fully count on him moving forward. I'm sure that they will plan on having him as their starting center in 2020, but they definitely needed some sort of insurance at that position. And that's what a guy like Dustin Woodard provides. And there's certainly no guarantee that he will make the team as the final pick in the draft for the Patriots as well. But they're bringing all three of those guys, Onwenu, Heron, and Woodard, basically to see if any of them stick to match with some of the other backup interior offensive linemen that the Patriots have, like Jermaine Illuminor, Yelda Froholt. There's going to be some competition there at the position this summer.
Yeah, Woodard is definitely more of a kind of Patriots-type interior lineman. I believe he's right around 295, 300 pounds. Was a 4-year starter at Memphis, started 52 consecutive games, played left guard for 2 seasons, right guard for 1 season, then moved to center as a senior, so definitely has some positional versatility in there. And the Patriots don't really have a clear backup center at this point, or at least they didn't coming into the draft. Yelda Froholt played there a little bit in college, but he was mostly a guard, and we saw him mostly used at guard with the Patriots last summer. And with Ted Karras now gone, there's no real clear kind of number two behind David Andrews. Maybe that's a role that Woodard is going to be able to fill if he does make the team.
Yeah, and it's also certainly possible that the Patriots would bring back James Ferentz. He was their top interior backup last season. He still remains unsigned as a free agent, but I certainly would not be surprised if he wound up coming back. And in most offenses, you would look at a guy like Dustin Woodard, who, as you mentioned, 6'1", 295 pounds. You would say, okay, well, that guy's only a center. He's got 31.5-inch arms. But Shaq Mason is right around the same size. You know, if he's even 6'1", he's around 6 feet, weighed in around 300 pounds when he was coming out of school. So, you know, they've used smaller offensive linemen at guard in the past. So I would not put it past them that Woodard might be able to play a little bit of guard and a little bit of center for the Patriots. Let's get into these undrafted free agents.
These guys are fun.
They are fun. And I'll just read all of them at once. We're not going to break down every single one of them because I don't think I really could, but I certainly know a decent amount about some of these guys. So right off the top, Ohio State tight end Rashad Berry, Washington cornerback Miles Bryant, Auburn defensive end Nick Coe, Arkansas linebacker Dejon Scuda-Harris, Auburn wide receiver Will Hastings, William & Mary defensive tackle Bill Murray, Syracuse wide receiver Sean Riley, Louisiana Tech quarterback Jamar Smith, Arizona running back J.J. Taylor, San Diego State linebacker Kayava Tezino, Louisiana Tech defensive tackle Courtney Wallace, and Mississippi State wide receiver Isaiah Zuber. I guess Louisiana Tech is the new Rutgers for the Patriots here because they wound up signing two undrafted free agents out of there. But I'll start off with Miles Bryant. He's a cornerback out of Washington. He's a slot option, very undersized. He didn't even measure up to 5'8" at the NFL scouting combine, but had the fastest three-cone drill among all cornerbacks who were at the scouting combine this year. Only ran a 4.6 40, but like I said, slot option, undersized, see what he can do, see how he can stick. He was probably a guy who wasn't going to go drafted because of his height and stature, but he played some free safety during his final season at Washington, so does have a little bit of positional versatility. Couldn't really imagine him playing safety in the NFL, though, just because of his stature.
Definitely. I think the most interesting name on this list is Jamar Smith, just because he is a quarterback and the Patriots did not draft a quarterback in this draft. He's a guy who didn't get a ton of buzz during the pre-draft process, but had a pretty strong senior season. Completed 64.3% of his passes, 18 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Has some rushing ability as well. It's always difficult to tell exactly what quarterback's rushing numbers were in college because college stats they subtract stats from the player's total rushing yardage, which is very annoying from a scouting perspective. But he's got some two-way ability, got some rushing ability. Was suspended for two games late last season, so that was interesting for a unspecified athletic department rules violation. I don't think that ever actually came out what the violation was, so that was something that was interesting. Was able to come back for Louisiana Tech's bowl game last year, and the Louisiana Tech was 10-1 in games that he played last year. So interesting guy to sort of take a flyer on to bring in as their third quarterback, a guy who has a little bit of a different skill set than Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer for sure. That was a surprising way that the Patriots filled their third quarterback spot, but they do now have three quarterbacks on their roster. Any other guys you want to touch on here, or should I go rapid fire with the
Bill Belichick did talk about the quarterback position actually a little bit in the conference call that we had with him yesterday. So let's play some of that audio about how he feels about his current quarterback situation with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, and sort of why the Patriots didn't wind up drafting a quarterback.
You know, the bottom line is that, you know, we're evaluating that position along with all the other ones. And if we feel like we find the right situation, we'll certainly draft them. And we've drafted them in multiple years and multiple points in the draft. Didn't work out the last 3 days. That wasn't by design. It could have, but it didn't. You know, we've had Brian a couple times, and I think, you know, he certainly gives us a very solid level of play, you know, we have a lot of confidence in him. And you know, Jared had a good year last year. He improved a lot, and we'll see where that takes him. So Yeah, I have confidence in both players.
We mentioned this on a video yesterday, but the Patriots have one of the weakest quarterback depths in the NFL with Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer, and Jamar Smith. I like Jarrett Stidham. I think that he could wind up being a decent starter in the NFL, but there's no guarantee whatsoever on that. Brian Hoyer is essentially a career backup with some spot starts, some spot starting seasons along there. And then Jamar Smith is an unknown as an undrafted quarterback. So we'll just kind of have to see how all of that goes for the Patriots, but certainly not a strength. I want to get into the two Auburn guys real quick. Will Hastings was Jarrett Stidham's slot receiver at Auburn, and they had a really good chemistry in 2017. Will Hastings wound up tearing his ACL before the 2018 season, missed that entire year. I thought it really looked like Jarrett Stidham missed him during that final season that he had at Auburn. So Will Hastings, super undersized, 5'10", 175, had some great agility drills, a fast, quick guy, but was super unproductive at Auburn last season. So hopes aren't high on him, but I think that him and Stidham could have a nice connection in training camp if that occurs. And then Nick Coe was thought to be a draftable prospect, defensive end out of Auburn, good size at 6'4", 6'5", 280 pounds. But I just want to read something from Bob McGinn out of The Athletic. He called Nick Coe a scout's nightmare in his draft preview. He said, at 6'4", he's a physical specimen with loads of ability, but according to a scout, he fell asleep in meetings, complained about his role, and ended up being benched. Now he might not even be drafted. You think you've got to give this guy a chance just because his body is beautiful, but the guy made like four plays all year. So clearly falling asleep in meetings and complaining about his role will not fly with the Patriots, but maybe the fact that he went undrafted and now he's going to be playing under Bill Belichick, if anything's going to wake you up, it's going to be that. And if it doesn't, then you'll probably be out of the league.
Yeah, it's a very easy message to send on the first day of camp saying, hey, look, the league thought that you suck. You didn't even get drafted. We're taking a chance on you. If you step out of line at all, you're gone. And Coe was suspended for a game last season for kind of a run-in with Gus Malzahn. That was probably the instance that scout was describing. But he's definitely a guy that's got some talent, got some good length. I think he has like 34-inch arms too. So he could be an interesting guy in there. And Hastings, I dug into Hastings a little bit last night. And even beyond him being Jarrett Stidham's old slot receiver, he's got a pretty interesting backstory. Actually came to Auburn as a walk-on kicker who specialized in onside kicks. And then eventually, about a season and a half in, he was able to sort of convince Gus Malzahn to move him to offense, and he became a pretty productive player. But I looked back in his high school. Did you ever hear about that high school in Arkansas that never punts,
oh, yeah,
only does onside kicks and does kind of downfield rugby offload laterals on basically every play? That was the high school that Will Hastings played at in Arkansas. His senior season, he had 113 catches for 2,000 yards and 23 touchdowns. So it was a little ridiculous that he had that production and he wasn't even able to find any team to actually make him a wide receiver and not a walk-on kicker who specialized in onside kicks. But pretty remarkable backstory for him. Ran some very good times at Auburn's pro day. Auburn was one of the few schools that actually was able to have a pro day. And some other guys on this list.
And I just want to mention that quickness stood out on tape. I mean, granted that was before the torn ACL, but he was really fast and really quick when I was digging through Jarrett Stidham's tape last season during that 2017 season. But I mean, 5'10", 175, that's probably not going to cut in the NFL, but he certainly has some decent traits there.
Yeah, and even in that season with Stidham, he only caught 26 passes, but he averaged 20.2 yards per catch, which is definitely impressive, especially for a guy that plays out of the slot and does a lot of kind of underneath work.
The Patriots' most highly paid undrafted free agent was linebacker Dejon Harris out of Arkansas. Goes by Scuda. Patriots gave him $150,000 guaranteed, including, what was it, a $25,000 signing bonus. This, if you just want to, you know, break this down as simple as possible, Dejon Harris is basically Elandon Roberts. They're very similar players. Had 100 tackles in each of his last three seasons. Undersized middle linebacker, but an undersized middle linebacker who's a thumper. Not the most athletic guy, probably won't shine in coverage, but I think he's a guy who has a very good shot of sticking on the Patriots roster because of what I mentioned earlier with the Patriots' lack of depth at linebacker. I would not be surprised if Dejon Harris had a bigger role on defense this year than a guy like Cash Maluya, who was the Patriots' actual sixth-round draft pick.
Yeah, a line from Dane Brugler's draft guide. Harris plays with a physical, indestructible play style, arriving at the ball carrier with violent intentions. That definitely sounds like an Alandon Roberts type player. Also worth noting that Kiaza Tezino, who the Patriots also picked up, is basically the exact same size as Skuta Harris and has a lot of the same type of kind of play style attributes. He's known as like a physical downhill linebacker, has some athletic limitations, but is going to lay the lumber on some guys in an Alandon Roberts type way. Also, another interesting guy, Bill Murray from William and Mary, not just because his name is Bill Murray, but he blocked 4 kicks last season, blocked 10 in his college career. Those 4 kick blocks were the most by any player at either level of Division I. It's kind of a niche skill, but it's something that definitely appealed to the Patriots, a team that is very interested in guys who can contribute on special teams. J.J. Taylor, from the running back from Arizona, is a guy that a lot of people thought might sneak into the later rounds of the NFL draft. He's only 5'5", so he's extremely small.
Comically small.
What's that?
Comically small, but also, yeah, he's 5'5", 185, but he's also sort of known as a between-the-tackles runner.
Yeah, I saw some Deion Lewis comparisons on Twitter and elsewhere, so I thought he was sort of a jump cut scat back guy, and he does have decent kind of change of direction and quickness, but yeah, he is a downhill runner. He's a guy who has some pretty impressive power for a player his size. There's actually a highlight that I found last night of him just kind of leveling Miles Bryant, the fellow Patriots undrafted free agent in the open field. So he's an interesting prospect. Also has some receiving ability. Arizona would split him out into the slot from time to time. So he'll be an interesting guy to watch this summer. Going to be very hard to earn a roster spot in that running back group unless the Patriots end up parting ways with Rex Burkhead or one of these other players. But
he is also the only other running back, basically, as of now at least, on the roster other than the guys who are basically insured roster spots. So if something does go wrong at that position, if the Patriots do suffer any injuries, then J.J. Taylor would be the guy who is next in line there. And one thing that stood out to me in the pre-draft process on him was just that he ran a 7-second 3-cone, one of the fastest times among running backs at the scouting combine. It was actually the third fastest. And it's basically right in line with what the Patriots usually look for there. 4.15 short shuttle, also below what the Patriots usually look for at that position. So he was the guy who kind of came across my radar, but his size, I was just like, I'm not sure if the Patriots would draft a guy who's 5'5", 185, but picking him as an undrafted free agent certainly makes sense there. Let's get into the wide receivers in a second, but first of all, one of the questions that Bill Belichick was asked yesterday was essentially why the Patriots didn't grab a wide receiver in the draft since it was such a loaded draft class. So let's just hear what he has to say about the Patriots' current crop of wide receivers.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I'm sure that our young players are all, you know, improve in year two. And been a first round pick on Nikhil last year, and, you know, second round pick on Sanu. You know, that was really off of this draft. And obviously have, you know, Julian and number of other young players, and I think that'll be a very good group. There's a lot of different ways and times to build your team, and the draft's one of them.
So we already mentioned the Patriots grabbed Will Hastings out of Auburn, but they also took Syracuse wide receiver Sean Riley and Mississippi State wide receiver Isaiah Zuber. All three of these guys are sort of interesting because they're all slot options at wide receiver, but the Patriots do have some pretty decent options already as far as outside wide receivers go. In N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers can do a little bit of both, Mohamed Sanu, and then obviously you've got Julian Edelman and Gunnar Olszewski, more of slot options. But Patriots did grab 3 wide receivers in the undrafted free agency period. None of them really jump off the page, but they all have some decent traits that the Patriots certainly could look for because they are slot quicker type options at that position. So certainly no guarantee that any of those guys will make the Patriots roster, but I think they'll be right there competing with guys like Gunnar Olszewski for a roster spot. I know some people mentioned that one of the biggest winners of the 2020 NFL draft for the Patriots was Jarrett Stidham. I would say that Jacoby Myers was another one, just simply based on the fact that the Patriots did not draft a wide receiver. They picked up Marquise Lee, free agent wide receiver, before the draft, but I certainly would not look at him as a lock to make the roster. They grabbed Damier Byrd earlier in the process, also probably not a lock to make the roster. But I mean, Jacoby Myers is right now on the inside looking out at that wide receiver position. I think that he certainly helped his stock for a roster spot because the Patriots did not take a wide receiver in this class.
Absolutely. In my view, going into this draft, Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry were the only absolute stone cold roster locks on this roster. You expect Mohamed Sanu to also be in there as well, but just the fact that if they can cut him, they can free up so much cap space makes his spot a little bit precarious. And then Jacoby Myers, if the Patriots came out and drafted Justin Jefferson in the first round, there could have been a situation where Jacoby Myers gets pushed onto the outside of that roster bubble. But I like Jacoby Myers a lot. I think he's going to take a real step forward in year two. I think he's going to be a guy that will surprise some people that were kind of hating on him a little bit last year. And the fact that the Patriots did avoid drafting any wide receivers definitely bolsters his case. One more note on Sean Riley, who you mentioned, also a very prolific kick returner, was Syracuse's top kick returner for all four of his seasons, set a Syracuse record and ranks third in ACC history in total kick returns. So definitely had a lot of experience there, was a punt returner as well. JJ Taylor also did a lot of kick returning. Kick return was it's a spot that's not really that important in the modern NFL, given the rules in place there. But the Patriots also were one of the worst kick return teams in the NFL last year. Basically, they put Brandon Bolden back there and told him not to fumble and run straight, which he did, and he did his job in that regard, but definitely weren't dynamic at all in that spot. And wondering if that's something the Patriots could be looking to change this season with some of these pickups they've made.
For sure. And something that we sort of failed to mention on Kyle Duggar off the top of the Patriots topic was that he was a pretty incredible punt returner. Granted, it was at the D2 level. This is, you know, Lenore Ryan, but he had 6 punt returns for touchdowns during his college career, almost 1,000 yards total in that regard. So I think that, you know, he would be competing for that punt return job with, you know, some of the guys that you mentioned, plus Gunnar Olszewski, who had that job last season before he got injured. Then Patriots basically put Mohamed Sanu back there, and it didn't go so hot. He got injured. You certainly don't want Sanu doing it. You probably don't want Julian Edelman doing it, since the Patriots didn't want him doing it last season. So I would expect, you know, if the season started today — it doesn't, of course — but either Kyle Duggar or Gunnar Olszewski will probably be back there at punt returner. And I thought that Duggar, on his conference call with us, seemed to have a decent degree of confidence in his punt returning ability, saying that he's very comfortable with the ball in his hands. He was a running back growing up. And obviously that showed with his ability to return punts in college. But certainly interesting that, you know, we talked about Kyle Duggar as a safety. I think he'll probably play maybe more of a strong safety role than a free safety. But he'll also be, at least early in his career, while Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung and all these other guys are playing safety, he'll be a key contributor on special teams. I think the Patriots certainly are hoping that he will be their punt returner in 2020 if all goes right during training camp.
Definitely. I think Damier Byrd could be in that mix as well, the wide receiver
more
the Patriots
of a kick
picked up.
Returner though, right?
He does have punt return experience. I think he can definitely contribute in that role. I'm looking forward to the Division II versus Division II punt return battle this in training camp. That's going to be interesting with Gunnar Olszewski and Kyle Duggar. Obviously, as you mentioned, a big uptick in competition between playing against special teams players from a Division II team, which is even a downgrade from the offensive or defensive players on a lot of those teams. But yeah, definitely showed some ability there. Definitely a lot bigger than Gunnar Olszewski. So that'll be an interesting battle to watch as we move forward, assuming there is a training camp.
Just real quick. So the Patriots didn't draft a quarterback. They didn't draft a wide receiver. And if there's if there are complaints to be made about this Patriots draft class, it probably would be the fact that they did not take advantage of this wide receiver class, which is one of the strongest in NFL history. And clearly we're talking about, you know, names like Mohamed Sanu, who didn't perform that well last season, Jacoby Myers, who was an undrafted free agent last year, N'Keal Harry, who didn't perform very well as a first round pick. I think the Patriots probably should have come out of this class with at least one wide receiver in the first 4 rounds. The board didn't exactly fall their way, and they basically chose to grab the second tight end over a wide receiver. And in that regard, I'm not sure if I can really criticize him that much for it, because tight end was such a bigger need on this team than wide receiver. It probably makes more sense to ensure that you get at least one quality tight end out of Asiasi and Keene than grabbing a wide receiver, since you do have guys like Marquise Lee and Mohamed Sanu and Julian Edelman and Demir Byrd, guys who have actually played in the NFL before, two guys with upside, and Jacoby Myers and Nikhil Harry, Gunnar Olszewski, see what he can do, grab the undrafted free agents. But I think that, you know, ultimately they should have probably grabbed a wide receiver out of this class at some point.
I agree. I mean, you even saw some of the names that were coming off the board in the sixth or seventh round are guys that we both had kind of realized or noticed and pointed out as potential Patriots fits. This was an extremely deep receiver class, but I found Bill Belichick's comments on the receiver group very interesting. And they were slightly different than his comments on the quarterbacks. When he was asked about not drafting a quarterback, he said they didn't come in with a plan not to draft a quarterback. They weren't against it. They would have drafted a quarterback if the proper one ended up being at the spot that they valued him at. I'm sure they would have done the same at the wide receiver position as well. But the fact that his response to a question about this was to basically defend the Patriots receiving core, to basically say, hey, I know that this group is getting a lot of hate out there, but I actually think it's pretty good that we have Julian Edelman, we have Mohamed Sanu, we have all these guys. I think that we can win with this group. It was interesting, especially because that group was so unproductive last season outside of Julian Edelman. You've got to think that they're expecting more from Mohamed Sanu. He was got to kind of imagine at this point that he was a lot more injured than everybody was letting on at that point, which was evidenced by the fact that he did undergo offseason surgery. But overall, it's not a bad group. I mean, if Julian Edelman can continue to be even close to the level he was at for most of last season, if Mohamed Sanu comes back and is the player that the Patriots thought that they were getting when they traded for him in the middle of last season, if Nikhil Harry and Jacoby Myers take steps forward and somebody fills out that group, whether it's Marquise Lee or Demir Byrd or Gunnar Olszewski or one of these rookies, that's not a terrible group to be going in with. And you could not say the same thing about that tight end group. So I do think that while it was a little surprising and something that you can definitely nitpick about this class, I think they're reasonably well positioned at receiver right now.
The issue is Julian Edelman's age and the fact that he has been somewhat injury prone in the past. And if you lose him, then you've got, you know, Sanu and Harry and Myers as your top options. That doesn't become ideal, but it's not as weak as what the tight end core would have been or what the quarterback core is at this point. I do wonder about which quarterback the Patriots were sort of waiting on at that point. If Jalen Hurts had been there in the third round, maybe they would have taken him. Maybe that was the guy they were sort of waiting on. And then once he got a little bit overdrafted by the Eagles, then they skipped out on that position because they had ample opportunity to get Jake Fromm. They had ample opportunity to get Jake Luton. Jacob Eason fell quite a bit. They had the opportunity to draft Jordan Love in the first round. They had the opportunity to take Jalen Hurts in the first round. And they even had the opportunity to take Hurts in the second round. So they passed on those guys over and over and over and over again. You know, maybe if James Morgan was there in the sixth round, but you know, like I said, they had a lot of opportunities to grab a quarterback and they didn't. So I am curious to know which one of those guys, it probably was Hurts that they were waiting on, that just never really dropped to them. But
it was still interesting. So sorry to interrupt. It was still interesting that even after, because Hurts went off the board on day two, and during Nick Casario's conference call after day two, he said, yeah, there are names out there that we are interested in and that we would draft. And who knows who those names were. You got to imagine Jake Fromm probably wasn't on that list because they could have drafted him in the fifth round. They ended up taking Justin Rohrwasser instead. And maybe James Morgan got drafted a little higher than they expected. But yeah, it just shows that, I mean, even if there were players in this quarterback draft class that they liked, they didn't value them enough to address that over some other positions that they chose to do so instead.
Yeah, it certainly possibly would have taken Morgan or even Eason in the fifth round, but they did have the opportunity to grab those guys or even trade up for them. But I think that will do it for this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. We will be back, obviously, in the future, discuss more about Patriots draft class, what's going on this offseason. But just one final thing. I think we talked about this yesterday. We both gave this draft class for the Patriots, what, a B-?
B-, yep.
Yeah, it's probably fair. But yeah, certainly an interesting class, and we'll see how all of these guys progress without a traditional offseason around them. But the Patriots do still plan on holding a virtual rookie mini camp to sort of teach these guys on WebEx. So definitely a different offseason, but they still have a chance to learn what they're doing. But keep it on Nessen.com for all of your Patriots coverage. Follow Zach on Twitter at Zach Cox Nessen, and follow me on Twitter at Doug Kai.